Welcome to Let's Talk Golf. I'm your host, Penny Gaylor. Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Golf. I'm your host, Penny Gaylor, and today's guest is Tony Lester, man wearing many caps. He does happen to collect caps, but wearing caps as in today talking about the mini golf in Paraparumu and the Waikanae golf course. So welcome, Tony. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, Penny.
How's your golf?
How's my golf? I actually haven't played much over the last 6 months. I think I've played about three times or four times. So we've just been incredibly busy with things that are going on with regards to the mini golf and also at Waikanae Golf Club. So, yeah.
Well, in that case, thank you for giving up what I know you are very committed to doing, actually, your own golf. Thank you for doing it because, let's crack into the conversation about the mini golf in Paraparumu. Did take some visitors there after Christmas, and I played there another time myself, and it was buzzing.
How many holes in one did you get?
Well, the first time I got that hole in one where you'd give me the little tip. Thank
14,
you.
Thank you, Tony.
And then the second time I went, I got two.
Well done.
Yeah.
So we've had 4 or 5 year olds getting about 3 holes in 1. So you've got to pick up your game.
I've got to go back as soon as we finish this interview.
So the mini golf has just been outstanding. Both the Rotary Club of Kapiti and the Lions Clubs of Kapiti have been blown away. Conservatively, we think we've had 27, 28,000 visitors since we opened at the end of November. We've just closed it now during the week because the school holidays are finished. But there's some talk about, will we actually try and do something different for the rest of summer during the week? So just watch the website, Golf for Good website, to see whether we're going to make some changes to our opening hours. The community has supported it very widely. We've had visitors from all over the Lower North Island, and it's primarily from word of mouth and social media. Our website continues, Golf for Good website, continues to have hits in the thousands, and people are thoroughly enjoying it. One of the key things that we faced was how do we resource the kiosk? And so between the Rotary Club and the 3 Lions Clubs at the moment, we're resourcing the kiosk all by volunteers. Mm-hmm. And one of the great things to hear is that the volunteers are having so much fun. They're able to interact with the customers. They're able to give some advice, like I gave you some advice on which hole to get a hole in one. And basically it's just a fun environment. We met council reps there yesterday who were showing other council reps from other councils what we'd done and how well we'd worked together between the Trust and the KCDC. So it's been a stunning success.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. So that is the chance for, you know, people who are involved with Rotary and Lions very much wanting to do things for the community, but actually sometimes you don't necessarily get to interface. So this will be a lovely way for
Absolutely.
Them to interface. And for the community to see who are these Rotary and Lions members.
Yep. And that's attracted quite a lot of comments from the community, absolutely saying it. Regardless of who's on the kiosk, whether it's a Lions member or a Rotary member, everybody is complimentary about the work that our service clubs do here on the coast. Just to give you an indication of the success, we opened... I'm not sure if your listeners are aware of this, but the course is worth $800,000. It cost us $800,000. Mm-hmm. We raised, Lions and Rotary raised $350,000. And the community, all of our sponsors put in the other $450,000 at whether it be goods, whether it be labour, whether it be schools or whatever, they put in $450,000. So we opened on the 29th of November, completely debt-free with an $800,000 asset for the community. So what's happened since then? Well, we are currently paying back $60,000 to our various clubs. $30,000, it's a 50-50 split between Rotary and the Lions clubs. So $30,000 is going back to Rotary, and a further $30,000 is going back to the original 4 Lions clubs are involved. One of the clubs wasn't in the position to help us with the roster, so we're only using three Lions clubs for the roster. But what we're doing is we're giving back $60,000 to the community. Now, this money can only go into charitable trusts, and those charitable trusts can only be used for giving out to the community. So it's just been a massive, massive success, and it doesn't look like slowing down.
That's brilliant. So is that $60,000 after 2 months of opening?
After 2 months of opening.
Did you have a bit of a goal in mind?
We had a budget, basically, and we've blown that budget completely out of the water.
In the best possible way.
When we opened, we wanted to have $40,000 or $50,000 in the bank from an operating expense. Mm-hmm. We've still got that $40,000 or $50,000 in the bank, so we are able to dish out the excess income. Mm-hmm. And the income primarily comes from green fees, from the people paying the fees, because we've targeted the pricing, I think, at a really, really good level. We've had a lot of feedback from our customers that saying that the course is just so good and it's so reasonably priced. Plus, we sell a few ice creams and soft drinks in the summer days, whenever we get a summer here on the Cabot Coast. It's been a good level of sales going in the soft drinks and ice creams. And we make the same markup on our soft drinks and ice creams that any ordinary shop will do.
So we're not
looking to gouge anybody with our pricing. It is just definitely an opportunity for people to come and play a golf game, round of golf, and then go and sit down on the seats and have an ice cream or a soft drink afterwards. It's just been a stunning success.
Like absolutely bubbling with people and you know, families. We had three generations in our kind of group of, there was 10 of us went round, and so we spread ourselves out, but you know, it was so much fun.
We had 80 children over five from the Skids program last week.
What a great idea.
They came as their after school program, and they came as far away as from Levin and the Realmatty Skids thing, and those kids just loved it. Mm. But the most exciting thing for the kids to do on our golf course is to see where their golf ball ends up after the 18th hole. So at the 18th hole, the ball goes automatically into a pipe and goes into a bucket that we have stored underground, and it goes really, really fast. And so the number of times that we open the lid to show the kids where their ball goes is quite fascinating. We ask them to go and get another ball from the kiosk, and they stand on top of the 18th hole, drop the ball, then they run over to where the hole is to see it come rattling into the container.
Oh, well, now that I know that you can do that, I'll do that next time. I'll give it a go.
So we're actually looking at putting a bit of Persplex on top of the metal cover of the thing to try and make it a bit of an entertainment feature, because the kids just love it. It's just amazing.
Oh, that's brilliant. I love that you can pick the colour of your ball. Of course I pick pink.
Yes.
But, you know, and it's all the great, you know, and it's just like a lot of fun. It's a doing thing when you've got, you know, like I say, three generations of people doing something together. It's quite hard to find an activity that's that kind of equaliser.
And it certainly is an equaliser, because you can walk away off 14 having a hole-in-one as you did and then play 15 and end up having seven or eight shots, because once you get in the bunker at 15, it's a challenge. So it's been built by people who design golf courses. The finishing work was done by a golf course expert who flew out from Canada to be involved in the final shaping. The mounds have been done by a guy called Digger Dave from the East Coast, who's the principal person in New Zealand who designs and shapes golf courses. So it's been done properly, and it really does give you the impression that this is a mini golf course.
Mm. Yeah, well, because it's the thing about golf, as us golfers know, eh, Tony?
Yeah.
It's about, you know, club choice and all sorts of obstacles and how you are going to, like, it's you versus the course. So today, this is the course. If you had, you know, like on a golf course and they rate the hardest to the easiest, golf hole, Would 15 be the hardest?
No, 17.
Really?
17 is called the deal breaker.
That
runs along the side of our big bunker, and you've got to be really exact in how you play your tee shot. Otherwise, you'll roll into the bunker, and then if you roll into the bunker and you play out, you'll then go into the perhaps the bark on the other side of the fairway.
Yeah.
And then if you're playing off that side of the fairway, you'll go back into the bunker. So 17 is a deal breaker.
Yeah.
But all the holes are balanced, but they have been designed to be very, very true.
Mm.
So when you're within 3 or 4 feet of the cup, if you make a good putt, you'll go in the hole.
Mm.
It's really well. It's been brilliantly designed.
I can confirm that is what happens on the 17th.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that. I thought playing it a second time I would have done a bit better.
So for our various charities listening out there, we want to suggest something to you. All of our gold sponsors, and you can see their names either on our website, Golf for Good website, or when you come to the park, there's a big sign up on the side of the kiosk. All those gold sponsors have been given hundreds of family passes to utilise each year. And what we're encouraging our gold sponsors to do is to get in touch with some charities, any charity, and say, you know, would you like some of our family passes? And as a charity, you can either use them for your own charity or you could use them to raffle off and raise funds. The whole purpose of the mini golf course was to be a complete circle of giving, whereby the sponsors gave us money, we give the sponsors the potential to give further funds or further tickets and that out to the community. So it's a circle of continuous giving. So we're just approaching our sponsors right now to remind them that they've got those vouchers, and if they're not going to use them themselves, please utilise them within the community so that we are trying to spread the goodwill right across the community.
Mm, brilliant, brilliant idea. And I'm just thinking about, you know, going back to the $60,000 in that allocation, what have you yet identified what sort of areas in the community you will put that money back into?
So that's not a question for Golf for Good, mini golf. That's a question for the individual clubs.
Right.
That goes into their charitable trust. They can only go to put it out to charities, and we have no say in what they do. It's their funding. They control who they allocate it to. So, you know, the funding stream is looking relatively strong, so we are hoping that we'll be able to give at the end of the financial year, we'll split up our profit to the various clubs based on the days that they've resourced the kiosk. So we're confident that when we come to the end of June, we're going to have another pool of money to allocate to the clubs. So it is an outstanding success.
Mm. Oh, that's so good. Good on you, Kapiti and the wider areas, for coming in and supporting the wonderful work of Rotary and the Lions. It's such a fun way to, from both sides of the equation, really, isn't it?
Yep. And we would not have been able to do it without our community. The sponsors in our community have been outstanding.
Mm, yes.
And please stop when you come into the park and just have a look at the 100-plus names that are on our big notice board of all the firms that have sponsored us one way or the other.
Mm, yeah, and big ups to you and the organisers and how you have been promoting that generosity and that investment from our local businesses, and good on them, because, you know, we hear a lot of talk about, you know, the kind of the business sector at the moment. But here they are knowing, you know, that's a priority for them. They're giving back into their community. That's brilliant.
And, you know, I can't understate again the support that we've had from Kapiti Coast District Council. Absolutely no financial support, but access to their personnel, access to the process of consenting. You know, even as late as yesterday, we talked to one of their senior managers about the prospect of us now building toilets on the kiosk. That's our main problem, is the lack of toilets at our kiosk, and we've had to rely on asking people to go down to Mazengarb Park unless it's a child who's jiggling around all over the place, they can use the handicapped toilet that's in the kiosk. But so we, for this year, we want to focus on how do we build some toilets, and whether that's something we fund ourselves or we go back to our sponsors, that's still early days yet.
Okay, no, that's a good thing to be thinking about. So brilliant. Yep. So let's move on to talk about the Waikanae Golf Course. So you're just stuck in the admin office at the moment, are you?
No. I'm typically on the end of my laptop. Waikanae Golf Club is just booming, as is golf all throughout the Kapiti Coast. We've got about 1,130 members now.
Wow, that's up from when we started this show. You were the first up in here, and
it's just continuing to grow. So I'm actually sending out a note, and I've advised my members that this note is coming. I'm sending out a note tomorrow to our members advising what we're trying to do to make sure we firstly, look after our permanent members, our club members, in the days that they want to play golf, e.g. Saturdays and Sundays. Mm-hmm. So as with a number of clubs around the district, we're starting to look at how we can restrict the number of non-members playing from a high value timing of the course, e.g. Saturday, Sunday mornings. Yeah. So there's a note going out that says that most of our green fee players will not be able to play on the course until after Sunday afternoon on Saturdays and Sundays. And that's just to try and balance up the availability of our tee slots. Our course, we think, we've calculated that could take 1,400 members, but we don't want to get there. We still want to be able to enable our members to get a time when they require. So that just means a better balance between ourselves and our green fees players. And any large group of people, say more than 10, that wants to come onto the course and have access to the course, they're just going to have to do it through our general manager, Chris Judd, to make sure that we can plan accordingly to how we can cope with their number, but also recognise the access rights of our own members.
Fair enough, because you know, if you've committed your money to be a member of a club, that's the first call on things.
So we're very cognizant of doing that. Other things that are going on at the club is we're continuing to implement our master plan. Our master plan was designed by a pretty good golfer called Phil Tautaringi. It was approved last year, and that'll see us continuing to remove a number of exotic trees from the course and replace them with natives. Late last year, we applied for a grant with the KCDC Heritage Fund, and we were allocated $5,000 for replanting. So you'll see a fair bit of native plants going into some of the area whereby we've removed the exotic trees, such as pines and that sort of situation. You'll see some new plantings going in, but will be going in this autumn and this winter.
All right, so the upcoming planting season, good.
Absolutely. And just coming back to the mini golf, that's a thing that we sort of made a little bit of mistake with. Before we opened, we were rushing to get it sorted out. We did our plantings, and the plantings were great for the opening, but with our summer and with the wind and conditions, we haven't been able to keep the plants in a good shape. So we're actually asking Otahanga Landscaping, one of our sponsors, coming in on the 17th to see me, and we're basically going to get a planting plan from them that we can then get volunteers to replant the bark mulch on the mini golf course with plants that will survive better through the winter and autumn period. Mm. So it's all about timing.
Yeah, fair enough. So any chance you're going to fill in the odd bunker? And it's just a personal request.
No. No. In fact, no. No. It's really great. Children under five, and we could make a rule for Penny Gaydor. Under five are allowed to pick up out of the bunkers in the mini park.
No. Well, I'm talking about the Waikanae Golf Course bunkers.
We've filled in one. Phil's master plan has us placing another couple of bunkers into the course, and work still to be got to be done on that. So this year, the two major activities that will occur on the course is a reshaping of our 11th hole. That is where on the right-hand side of the 11th, there's a lot of erosion because we just can't get water, and it's on the side of a dune, so whatever water comes with the rain, it just rolls off. So we're reshaping the 11th as at March. We're going to see the dunes be shaped down to a lower level to enable us to put the move the fairway further over. We'll put some water into that space, and it just encourages our golfers to play more to the right of the fairway because there's actual houses on the left-hand side of the fairway.
Oh, okay.
So from a health and safety perspective, yeah, we're focusing on the 11th. And then our big project will be the 9th. The 9th has to be reshaped, and that will happen also this year because Arvida are building a retirement village next to the 9th, and we're delighted that they're building a retirement village there. We have said constantly we wish to be good neighbours, and we will be good neighbours. And from a health and safety perspective, we're going to reshape that hole, and most likely will turn into the signature hole on the golf course. It's going to be changed from a par 5 to a par 4. We will be shifting the fairway over quite significantly in what is our current practice area, and that will be drained and raised so that the water will not lie on there as it does now from a practice perspective. And then we will absolutely be shaping the fairway away from the villas that Arvida, the brilliant looking villas that Arvida are going to build.
Oh, that's good.
So where we have our current practice fairway, that is going to be turned into a wetland garden, and it'll be a hazard. Currently it's an out-of-bounds area. It'll become a hazard, but it'll be something that'll just reflect, the biodiversity of the Kapiti Coast and planting, and it'll be something that'll be first class with regards to making sure that we're replacing the course into what it may have looked like many, many, many years ago from a planting perspective.
And a very similar setting to that, the beautiful canopy of Waikanae.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Working closely with DOC and with Greater Wellington Regional Council and with Kapiti Coast District Council on consenting for this process now. And consenting should be received hopefully very, very shortly. And you'll start to see us doing work in there through the planting season. While Arvida will do their work on our boundary, the course will temporarily be dropped. The hole will be temporarily dropped from a par 5 to a par 3, and that just reflects that we want to make sure that anybody working on the Arvida boundary is safe from a golf ball strike perspective.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously not yours if you're not playing, and obviously mine because I just stick to the fairway, but yeah. But other people's.
Which fairway do you stick to?
Not bad. It's improved, actually. Don't be cheeky.
I
got a par there the other week on that hole.
Yeah. Look, the feedback from people that have been using the course is just stunning.
Oh, it was looking good. I was there 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mike
and I and Paraparaumu are both heavily involved in the upcoming PGA event.
Yes, I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
I understand 5,000 tickets have already been claimed, so there's going to be a good crowd going along. We've got a practice round, or qualifying round, before the PGA starts being played at Waikanae, and we're really looking forward to that because these aren't your regular Penny Gaylors of this world. These are really great New Zealand golfers and Australasian golfers that are coming.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a great boost
for
the Kapiti Coast.
Yes, so I was going to ask about that. So we have interviewed on a previous show to hear about the Paraparaumu hosting this competition. So how does it work for what the Waikanae will do? So is that like, is it actually part of the competition, or is it just the ability for them to keep, you know, come arrive from their flights, climatise to Waikanae or the Kapiti Coast and get a bit of a run-in, or is it actually part of...
It's part of the tournament because it's a qualifying round. So people who haven't made the tournament have an opportunity to qualify by playing on Waikanae. And then it's also an opportunity, as you say, for people to practice on the coast. The differences between Paraparaumu and Waikanae are significant from a type of golf course. Paraparaumu is more the classic link style course with no trees. Waikanae's got, you know, 6,000-7,000 trees. So there's a different skill set required at both courses. Both highly skilled people can play both courses extremely well. But so Paraparaumu and Waikanae are very, very cooperative. We're trying to work closely at that general manager level with the two clubs. So we're really excited for Paraparaumu that they're hosting this. Mm. And we're actually excited for the Kapiti Coast that they're hosting it.
Yeah. It's going to be brilliant. And it'll be on Sky.
Absolutely.
Oh, I don't know. Will I be there? Will I watch it on Sky? What'll I do? Well, and it's free. So when you mentioned about people, you know,
registering.
So you just have to register. You don't have to pay money.
Absolutely.
It's free.
And the beauty about it, I can recall many years ago watching Tiger play at Paraparaumu. The beauty about it, you can stand 2 or 3 metres away from these guys and you can actually see what they do.
Yeah.
And then you forget all about it by the time you come and play golf again, but you see what they can do.
Oh, don't you do what I do? When I'm watching golf on TV, I get my putter out and I like to mimic their grip and
I don't.
I've moved to Rory's. It's working a treat.
Well done. Well, we'll have to play again. Janet wants to play again, so we'll have to play again.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that. So, like, that is really exciting for the club and, as you say, for the whole of the Kapiti. And the Wellington region, because this is going to be a very accessible, big event.
Yep.
There's, you know, people coming in, staying, good stuff for the economy, really good when we think about that market that this will beam out to through this live
worldwide
coverage on Sky, particularly to, you know, countries like Japan where they love their golf and it's so much more expensive than playing at Waikanae. Yeah. You know, they'll love to come and you know, check out all the courses along the coast here.
New Zealand is so blessed with golf courses. Mm. And
accessible prices.
Well, yes, some aren't. But then the ones that aren't ones that I'd be able to play anyway. So I'm more than happy about the rise of the golf skills required to go to some of these top courses, and that people from overseas just love coming to New Zealand.
Mm.
I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been great. It's been a great period.
Yeah. Oh, well, I look forward to checking out. Can people go along and watch the qualifying?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Do we have to register for that?
Nope. No.
Right, okay, well that's a good one to know, listeners.
Yeah. So. And we've got a number of volunteers from Waikanae who will be involved in that day as ball spotters and things like that.
Yeah.
Although these guys shouldn't need ball spotters because they should stick to the fairway.
Yeah,
But you never know, they may get put off by spectators such as yourself commenting, Benny.
Well, I reckon that number 3, that little waterway up your left-hand side, can be a bit of a draw to balls, can't it?
Yes, it can. Yes.
So that's cool. No. Hey, look, well, this has just been lovely. Thank you so much, Tony. Look, anybody who knows Tony, encourage him to go and do a round. or go with him. I'm sure you need the company. But it's just so lovely what's happening at the Waikanae Club. It's wonderful what's happening with the mini golf and all that it gives to our community. So thank you for doing all that work.
Thank you, Penny. And once again, thanks to the Kapiti community.
Yeah.
It has been stunning.
Yeah, it's lovely. So, hey, look, thanks everybody for listening to another episode of Let's Talk Golf. I'm your host, Penny Gaylor. And thank you very much, Tony Lester. So we'll catch you at our next show. Take care, everybody.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.